Let us look at Luke 8, chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him, that is Yeshua Jesus, out of every city he spoke by parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." No cognitive dissonance. Don't shut down, and you can't see and you can't hear. And his disciples asked him and saying, "Well, what might this parable be?" And he said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he has lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which seems to have. This parable is a serious call to decide whether and to line up. You are operating in cognitive dissonance. Your mind isn't getting it. Your ears hear it, but they don't understand it. Your eyes see it, but they don't know what they're seeing. He says the sower goes out to sow a seed, and here's what happens. The birds of the air come, and the seed is the word of God, and the birds is the devil. And he takes the word out of their heart, lest they should be believed and be saved. And then those are on the rocks, are those which are shallow, and they have no root. And temptation comes, and they fall away. And those which are on the thorns are they which they have heard go forth, and they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. What is this? These are those who having once, you know, decided to follow the Lord, look back, and they are not worthy. And their souls haven't been made perfected because they're not following Jesus. But those that are on good ground are those which, in an honest and good heart, those who are sincere and hear the truth and see their need of daily repentance of the Lord's Prayer. Daily, say it this way: Lord, Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory to come, world without end, forever. Eternal life, staying in eternal life, daily praying, abiding in the kingdom, only daily bread. Why do you worry about what you have tomorrow? Your stock market and your IRS, and you've been stashing up your house, and you got your little hideaway. Okay? and you got everything all full up and ready to go. Okay? And your life will come suddenly be required of you. You don't bring forth perfection, fruit, but they that are on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, no man, when he lights a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he sets it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. Okay, why do they need to see the light when they enter in? When you enter into the kingdom, the light is Jesus and his teachings. You need to enter in and see what he is saying. For nothing is secret is in darkness that shall not be made manifest. Neither anything that is hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath to him shall be given. What are you listening to? What do you think you're hearing? Take heed how you hear. For whoever has to him shall be given, and whoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. Let us go to Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now here, the author of Philippians, who is Paul, says, hey, let's just, you know, rejoice in God. Watch out for the people who are teaching about the law and circumcision. Here, let me give you my credentials. I could be, you know, this is the law, it's the flesh. I could have confidence. I did all these things. But I count them nothing, dumb. I suffer, I lose them all. I don't pull out my credentials because I count them dung. They're waste that I might win Christ. Verse 9, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith. Okay, let's stop right here. I don't have my own righteousness in the law. But I kept the law. I did all those things. The law showed me what righteousness was. But I have faith in Christ, and the righteousness that is in me and operating is by faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood and the life that he gave me and enabled me. He released his righteousness in and through me. And I live righteously. I do not break the law, because Christ's righteousness is operating in me, that I may know him. And here's the key. This is how this operates. That I might know him. To know him. To be intimately acquainted with him. And what did Jesus say before? Many are going to say in that day, Lord, didn't we do all these miracles and signs and wonders? He said, I don't know you. We need to know him and the power of his resurrection. Okay, his spiritual power and the fellowship of his sufferings, that is the crucifying of our flesh and denying ourselves, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, as though I'd already attained, I haven't already attained, he said. Either we're already be perfect, in other words, I'm not perfect, I'm not there, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brothers, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in God, Christ Jesus. I keep my eyes on the goal. And I press and I move forward. I keep my eyes on the prize, which is Christ Jesus, and being conformed into his perfection through his righteousness. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Okay. All right. He's not perfect. He's pressing on, but he's already perfected. Because the Spirit of God is in him and working to will and do God's pleasure. Okay? As many as be perfect. Now, it's those who yield to the Spirit. Not those who are, you know, lip service Christians. Oh, yes, we love God, but there's no fruit. The Spirit's not working there. They're not submitting to the will of God and the Spirit of God. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, we have already attained, okay, so he's saying he's already there. He's already perfecting. He just said he wasn't, because in the flesh he's not. By the Spirit he is. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brothers, be followers of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Okay. They say they're Christian, but they are the enemies of the cross. They don't have the cross operating in their life. They have self-indulgence, worldliness, carnality. For whose end is destruction, verse 19, whose God is their belly, that's what they're ruled by, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So these people, you know, they walk, but they don't bear the cross. They aren't disciplined. They don't have a crucified life. The word of God has not borne root in them. And fruit of the Spirit of God. They are into earthly things. Their conversation is not in heaven. It's with worldly things. And why do we look to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? We keep our eyes on the prize, that I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, even unto death on a cross. This is the friend of the cross. The cross is our friend. We don't want to be the enemy of the cross. When God's discipline and correction and his grievous chastisements and scourgings come as a son, we want to embrace them so that we might, that we will, because he will change our vile body and fashion it into a glorious body that he will give us. And he will, by his working, that according working, whereby he's able, Jesus is able to subdue all things unto himself. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord there is liberty. But we with an open face, beholding him as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is this liberty of the Lord? Is this licentiousness? Is it hedonism? We don't have to obey the law? No, it's that Spirit that enables us to keep the law by his righteousness and the blood that he shed, and conform us and transform us as we look into the glass of the word and the teachings and the glory of God. As we keep our eyes focused on him, we are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. by the Spirit of God, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, and we shall focus on verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. That's who He's creating us to be. We are a process. We are in the furnace of the discipline of this temporal, dimensional life that is being shaken and crucified and put off, that we might be transformed as we behold Him into His image, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Okay, this is a theological text that elucidates the process. First, we trusted in Christ, and you trusted when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed, and then you were baptized in the Holy Spirit to enable you to keep this the Spirit of promise. And this is our inheritance until you are redeemed. You were purchased by the blood of Jesus, and now the redemption is working unto the purchase of His process. Verse 15, wherefore also I heard after of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Don't cease not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Okay, keep your eye. How is this done? That you get a revelation of the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory, and that He will release the Spirit to you, that your eyes may see and perceive, and that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And what is the hope of His calling for you to live this life? No, it's an eternal destiny. And what you do now resounds eternally. What are the riches, that you may know what is the hope of His calling? He's calling you into eternity as an eternal creature. The kingdom is with you. You're already living in eternity. And when you put off this vile body of corruption, you will, whatever you sowed, if you sow to corruption, you will reap corruption. If you sow to incorruption, you will reap eternal life. Okay? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is it? You see, these are mysteries. The riches of the glory of His inheritance. What's going to happen in our eternal destiny? Eye has not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is it entered into the hearts of men. The things that God has for stored up for those who wait for Him and wait on Him, that serve Him. And when you serve Him, it's not at your convenience or what you decide or desire to do. It's out of submitted obedience, as it's aligned with the word of God in the scriptures. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us? Word who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, this is what the power of the Spirit did. He raised Jesus from the dead and set Jesus at the right hand of the Father of glory. This is His mighty power that's working towards us. Far above, and Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He has put all things, Jesus has, under His feet. God has put all things under, the Father of glory has put all things under His feet, Jesus, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. That's Ephesians 12, verse 23. This is the glory. These are the treasures. This is the kingdom. But you need to see and hear and understand this through repentance, that you might be healed and restored and brought back, the lame and the broken. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined. Okay, those who he foreknew. He knew you before you were. He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is. Moreover, whom he, remember we talked about in Zion, the church of the firstborn? Those are the church of Jesus. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. And again, okay, we realize that God will change our vile body, and our conversation is in heaven, looking to the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to subdue all things to himself. Now, my friends, you must put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And who is that? After the image of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And come into the fullness of your glorious inheritance and live your destiny now, and not for this temporal, fading, shaken world that's going to pass away soon. The hour is late now, and the Lord is coming. You need to cut loose all this other information and dissonance and things that are telling you what to do and what is this, and lying to you, and misinformation and cyber warfare and electromagnetic pulses and microwaves and cell phone waves. You need to cut all that stuff out. And their opinion and their counsel, blah, blah, blah. When this is the vision I had of the 10 virgins, the one was sitting, waiting for the Lord. And she had her hair wrapped in a turban like and Middle Eastern clothes. And there was only one virgin. One who's to say if she was the bridegroom, the remnant? But she was awake. She was standing up. She looked at her oil, and she was for her oil lamp, and she was saying, "Oh my goodness, is this the right oil? In other words, is this the right spirit? This oil, is this the spirit of righteousness here? Not another spirit, or a tainted, or a fly in her ointment lies in her spirit of holiness." The ruiner, is this the right oil? And then she looked at the wick and thought, oh my gosh, the wick needs to be trimmed. Her doctrines, her understanding, her hearing, her perceiving, the way she burnt, it need to be trimmed, need to be cut back. And she went to the door and she looked, pushed the door. She was waiting for the bridegroom to come in. And when the door opened, she saw darkness there and she began to weep. And she began to weep because she was longing to put off and for the bridegroom to come and to deal with all the sin and the iniquity of the world. Now the Lord of glory also moves in great darkness. And I encourage you that you put off and you make sure you have the right spirit. And there are no lies in your ointment, in your anointing. And you trim your doctrines and your teachings. And you throw out that which has caused you to flicker and wane and waver, that you have the pure meat of the Holy Word and the wine of sound doctrine, and that you continue as you're weeping and fasting and waiting for the return of the bridegroom to get yourself ready. For surely the Lord is coming, and his coming is very soon. He's going to be at the door to call you in to your eternal destiny.